I've been trying to preach the last few weeks that I've been preaching here on some of the real fundamentals. Preached a sermon on the power of God's Word. Preached a sermon on Jesus, and of course, He's our Savior, the center focus of our faith. Today, I want to preach on a sermon on filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll confess to you, it's not what I originally wanted to preach on, but God wouldn't let me get away from it. Literally, He woke me up in the middle of the night, talked to me about it. Books on my shelf that were about the Holy Spirit almost jumped off the shelf at me, and I kept finding things. It's just really strange. I mean, it's not strange. God just made it very clear, hey, this is what you're preaching on today. And I said, yes, yeah, amen. I will, absolutely. I wanted to be obedient to the Lord, and I pray that the Lord will use it, because it is really vital for us as a church. Because the church is made up of people, right? That we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Then we can do things. God can work through us if we'll allow Him to fill us with His Holy Spirit. So we're going to read a couple verses in Ephesians chapter 5 and talk about this morning. Ephesians 5, and stand as we read God's Word, beginning with verse 15. Paul is writing to the Christians that are part of the church in Ephesus. He says, "Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful command and promise that we can be filled with your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you'll speak to us today through your word. Let us open up our hearts to receive your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, God commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting how sometimes we kind of compartmentalize God's commands and we say, well, you know, I like that one. I don't really like that command. This is a command, just like the other commands in the Bible. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The command was given to the Christians in Ephesus to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we know it's possible because God promises it. He promises that He will do it. In the Old Testament, there's many, many prophecies about the coming of the Holy Spirit. One of them, in the prophet Joel, says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people." And on the day of Pentecost, when God's Holy Spirit was poured out on the church there, Peter referred back to that prophecy of Joel. God promised He was going to do this, and He did it. Jesus told His disciples shortly before He went to the cross. He said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Amen. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's possible because God promises it. It's also possible because God has done it. He's done it. You know, if you ever go in for surgery on, you know, there's three questions you probably want to ask the surgeon. Have you ever done this before? Did it work? And did they live? You know, those are critical questions, right? We can ask those of God. We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever done this before? Yes, He has. Did it work? Yes, it did. Did they live? Yes, they really, really, really lived. It's possible because God has done it. Did you know that when Jesus was on this earth, He was filled with the Holy Spirit? It says Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. I found this fascinating. Jesus, the Son of God, when He came to earth as a man, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, if Jesus, the Son of God, needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Right? In Acts, the day of Pentecost, the believers were gathered in the upper room and they'd been waiting there and waiting upon God, and God sent His Holy Spirit and filled them. Acts 2:4 says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. We know from the scripture there was 120 in the room. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Later in Acts, they had another prayer meeting. Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And you see that pattern throughout the book of Acts, people being filled with the the Holy Spirit of God. So it's possible because God has done it. So one question, as we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit that fills us? We're talking about being filled by the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. God has revealed himself to us as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Three persons. One God, three persons. The Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. So think about it. When God commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he's asking us to be filled with himself. Filled with himself. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" It's an amazing truth, and I'm not sure we really understand this. Do you understand this? That the God who created everything that exists, the holy, awesome, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent God wants to live in you and me in all of his fullness. He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. It's amazing. What a compliment, really. You know, how many of us would dare go to God and say, "God, I want you to come live in me"? I mean, he gives us the invitation, but if we didn't have the invitation, would we dare to ask such a thing? For the God of all of the universe, you know, "God, hey, come live in me." But that's exactly what he wants to do in all of his fullness. Amazing truth. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is also a person. In speaking of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, he's always spoken of in personal terms. When Jesus told his disciples, he said, "I'll ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him nor knows him, but you know him and he lives with you and will be in you." All personal pronouns. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not a power. He's not an influence. He's the person. He's a person, the person of the Holy Spirit. So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're entering into a person-person relationship, being filled with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is also holy. Holy Spirit. God is holy, so the Holy Spirit is holy. And in order for God, the Holy Spirit, to fill us, to come in and really take over complete control of us, we need to allow him to do that, but he needs to make us holy so that he can live in us with his holy presence. You see, an unholy God, holy God cannot live in an unholy place. And so God, the Holy Spirit, when you trust in him and you place your faith in Jesus and you surrender completely to God, the Holy Spirit comes in and he cleans up our hearts. He purifies our hearts by faith, the scripture says. Purifies us so that we will be a place where God's holy presence can dwell in his fullness. He is the Holy Spirit, and he makes us holy. It's only then that you can live a holy life that God calls us to live, when you're filled with his Spirit. The Spirit-filled life is a life of holiness. So what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean? Heard a story of a traveling evangelist who did a great grand finale at the end of his crusades, and he would hire a little boy that would sit up in the rafters of the church with a dove in a cage. And when they came to the end of the sermon, he would say, "Come down, Holy Spirit," and he would release the dove to fly around the church, make a big deal of it, right? This one crusade, he said, "Come, Holy Spirit," and the bird didn't come. The Holy Spirit didn't show up. The bird didn't fly. Said it again, the bird didn't fly. Then he heard a voice from the rafters and said, little boy up there said, "Sir, a yellow cat has eaten the Holy Spirit. Shall I throw down the cat?" There's a lot of confusion about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. A lot of confusion. A lot of people think it's a very big emotional thing. And it can be. You know, I've heard stories of people who testify being filled with the Holy Spirit where almost fire ran through their body, and that's awesome. But I've also heard testimonies of people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit who felt nothing. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we take it by faith. Just like we take our salvation by faith in Christ, we are being filled with the Holy Spirit by faith, not on feeling. I think God works in our lives in different ways. So I just want to let you know, don't try to put God in a box that he always has to do this in a certain way or make you feel a certain way. I can remember years ago, my first trip to Jerusalem, we went up to the Western Wall to pray, and I had an amazing experience. I went up to the wall, put my hand on the wall, and began to pray, and God's Spirit met me there. It was like the wall was breathing. It was such a weird experience. It felt like the wall was alive. I know the rock wasn't alive, but God met me there. God's Spirit just met me there in an amazing way that it amazes me when I think about it. I told a local pastor there in Jerusalem that I know about it, and he goes, "You're nuts. You know, nothing good happens at the Western Wall. That's just a rock wall." I mean, and I said, no, God met me there. And he was just, you know, he'd been there all of his life and, you know, never for him, you know. But what I use as an example just to say that God meets with us in different ways, in different times. And we can't program him to say, "I want this feeling," or "I want this experience," or "I want this sign," or whatever. God is God. But if we surrender and trust in him, he will fill us with his Holy Spirit. And whatever kind of confirmation he gives for you, that's up to God to do that. But we take it by faith, not by feeling. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be under God's complete control. That's where the word filled gets us kind of off track. But in biblical thought, it means to become under the control of something or someone. So that's why Paul in this verse, introduces the whole idea about, he says, first, don't be drunk on wine. Because if you're drunk on wine or any kind of alcohol, you become under the influence of that, right? And people do things when they're drunk that they would never do when they're sober because they're under the influence, right? You could put a lot of other things in there. Some people are filled with anger. And so they're influenced by anger and they do things that they would never do when they weren't angry, but now they're angry, and so they do things they would never do. Some people are filled with greed, and they do things. All kinds of things could fill us and control us. That's what he's talking about. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit means that God is the major influence in your life. That's really what it means. You've surrendered complete control to him. You listen to him. You follow him. He is the major influence in your life. There's nothing to compare to God being the one that you are under the influence of. You're under his control. Paul said it this way in Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." A death to the control of ourselves. And one of the biggest hindrances of being filled with the Holy Spirit is because we're filled with ourselves. And we need to die out to that. That's what he's talking about. I've been crucified. The selfish control of my own life, I die out to that and surrender it to Christ. And then Christ lives in me and I'm his. Being filled with the Holy Spirit also means that we belong exclusively to God. Belong to God. We come under the ownership of God. We surrender everything to him. We are God's. You know, D.L. Moody was an amazing evangelist that God used in amazing ways. And one of the meetings he was at, he was with a bunch of pastors, and some of their pastors were jealous of him because he was getting all this attention. And one of the pastors says, "Well, does D.L. Moody have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" And someone answered, "No, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody." Amen. Completely surrendered, belonging to God, to be used of God. See, it's not that we as followers of Christ do not have all the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't have all of us. We need to surrender completely so God can really come in and take control absolutely of our lives. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means we have a most intimate relationship with God. Most intimate relationship with God. You know, it's interesting, in the Old Testament days, In the days of Moses, when God led the people of Israel to Mount Sinai and he gave them the law, Moses set up a tent outside of the camp. And Moses would go out to that tent to talk to God. And he'd go in the tent and God would come down in a cloud and over onto the tent, and Moses and God would talk. And you know what the people in the camp did? It says in the scripture, they got out of their tents and just stood there staring at the cloud in the tent. Silence all over the camp. Everybody just staring at the tent because God was talking to Moses. It's a holy moment. We don't have to go to a tent to talk to God, my friends. We're the tent. We're the tent. God is with us. God is in us by his Holy Spirit. We can have this most intimate relationship with God. Moses could speak to God person to person. We can speak to God person to person. We have a relationship with him. We can know him. Ephesians 3:19 says, "To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And Jesus said these words, "On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you." I'm in you, and he's in us by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. To be filled with Holy Spirit means we have God's power at work in us. We are filled with the power of God to do the will of God. Amazing power. Now, doesn't it make sense that God would, before he gave us his power, he would be able to trust us? You know, before he gives us his power, he wants to make sure that we're not going to misuse it, not going to use it for our glory. And so, once we surrender completely to him and we're really in, we let God really be in control, then yes, he says, okay, I can trust you with my power. And he gives us his power. Ephesians 3:20, I've always been amazed at this verse. It says, "To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Within us. Now understand, it's not that God gives us power. God gives us himself, and he's the power. He's the power that's at work with us. It's his power working through us. It's amazing. So how are we filled with the Holy Spirit? That's a good question, I think. We must first receive God's forgiveness. The people who were all gathered together at the day of Pentecost that were filled with the Holy Spirit were all believers. They'd all been saved. They'd all been forgiven of their sins. They were always already followers of Jesus. That comes first. You have to be forgiven of your sins, be a follower of Jesus, and then you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we must desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, God wants to do that. He wants to fill us with his Spirit, but we have to want it. He will not force it on us. He will not force himself on us. He wants us to willingly desire for us to be filled with his Holy Spirit. We see in Luke 11:13, Jesus said, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to his children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" God wants to give us his Holy Spirit, to fill us with his Holy Spirit. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, do we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because God wants to fill us with his Spirit. So then we must surrender ourselves to God. Surrender ourselves to God. In order to be controlled by God, we must surrender to God. We must surrender to God. Surrendering everything over to him. Romans 12:1 says, "I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." That surrender of self to God, everything. So let's pretend for a second that you're a house and you've surrendered yourself to God. You're giving God everything in that house. He's got every room. You're not holding back a room. He's got every drawer, every cupboard, every closet. He's got every appliance, every light fixture, all the floor covering, all the insulation, all the attic, all the crawl space, the roof. You go through everything. We're talking about everything. There's nothing held back. Oftentimes what happens with people is when they get to this point of surrender, they want to surrender most things to God, but I'm going to hold this. I still want to control this part of my life. And God says, no. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Complete, total, absolute surrender. And then we trust God completely. We trust Him. We believe that God does what He promises. We surrender to God. We trust Him that He will fill us with His Holy Spirit like He promised. Not relying on our feelings, but relying on God and His promise. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you enter into a new whole kind of life. And the original language here, when it says to be filled, is the present tense, which means to continue to be filled. So it's not just about you at a moment in time being filled with the Holy Spirit and checking that off the box, checking the box off. No, I did that. Okay, I'm done. I got that. You're entering into a relationship with God that you live out. A relationship. It's an ongoing thing, not just a moment in time. It's a life that you live. So how do we live this life filled with the Holy Spirit? We must always keep surrender to God. Always keep surrender to God. You see, one of the problems is with living sacrifices, like it says in the scripture, living sacrifices crawl off the altar. They're not tied down. We have to voluntarily surrender to God. We're not tied down. We can crawl off the altar. We're pretty good at crawling off the altar, folks. We do it. We take over, you know, we've surrendered everything to God, and then something comes up, and oh, I take control of that. And then we realize we've slipped off the altar. If that happens, you need to surrender again. Get back on the altar. Turn it over to God. Turn yourself back over to God. We need to keep surrender to God. It's a life of surrender. Not just a decision you want at a time, but a life of surrender. You know, if you were to go to your faucet at home and take a glass of water and fill it up and set it on the counter, it's full, right? And just leave it there. In a few days, it wouldn't be full because it's going to evaporate out, right? So the only way to keep it full, really, is to keep it under the water with the water running. Then it's full and running over. And that's a picture of us being surrendered to God. We're keeping the glass under the faucet. We're letting God continually fill us. We're surrendered to Him. And we'll be filled with His Spirit. We need to keep surrendered to God. We need to keep trusting God. Keep trusting God. You know, sometimes at leadership conferences or stuff, they do this thing called a trust fall. Have you ever done that? Where you... someone's like here, I would get some people down here and I would turn around and fall backwards, trusting them to catch me. I'm not doing that today. It's not that I don't trust you guys. We just didn't practice that. So anyway, it's a trust fall. And they just have to fall backwards, trusting that people are going to catch them, right? That's how we need to live with God. Just trusting Him. We don't have any doubt He's going to be with us. We don't have any doubt He's with us and He hears us. We just fall and trust Him. That's how we live, fully surrendered to God, fully trusting in God. And we must always keep obeying God. You see, just because we surrender completely to God doesn't mean we're not involved. He doesn't make us into puppets or robots. We still have choices to make. We still have free will. Just because you're filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that God's going to force you to obey. You still have to make choices. Now, He's going to help you. He is really going to help you. Says Jesus in God and through the prophet Ezekiel says, I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. The Holy Spirit certainly helps us to obey God, but He won't force us to obey God. We still have to choose. And so when you live this life, being filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to respond to God and be filled with His Spirit and obey Him. If you disobey Him, then you'd have to honestly say you're not filled with the Spirit at that moment because you've taken over control. You've disobeyed God. And then you'd have to surrender, and trust Him again and give yourself back over to Him. We need to keep obeying God. And we must keep glorifying God. The whole purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit is for the glory of God. It's not so people would say, wow, you're amazing. No, we're supposed to think God's amazing. We're not supposed to think, look at all you've done. No, we're supposed to think, look at all that God has done. God's the one that deserves all the glory. Filled with the Holy Spirit, God can use us. You look at the book of Acts and what God did through the early church in Acts, it's amazing what he did, and they were very quick to give all the glory and honor to God. It's not us that did this. All the glory goes to God. And we say that, all the glory goes to God. So my question for you today, as we close, is are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Not were you once filled with the Holy Spirit, but today, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you fully surrendered to God? Fully trusting in God? What happens, like I said earlier, oftentimes we kind of take parts back, you know. You know, we don't think God can handle that, or he doesn't, you know, I don't like what he's got planned, so we take it back, and then you need to surrender again, surrender. If you find in the book of Acts, the early church was filled not just at Pentecost, but many times. We need to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Live a life of surrender. And then God can do great things in and through us for his glory. We're going to sing a song together in a moment. And I'll ask the musicians to come. And if you need to pray, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray. There could be there's some people here today that want to come and pray. And that is the prayer that you need to pray. Lord, fill me. I surrender. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I trust in you. Maybe you've taken something back. Maybe you've never started a life of surrender. And you need to do that today and start that life of surrender. I really believe, honestly, that if we're all honest, all of us probably ought to be at the altar praying today. Amen. I know we wouldn't all fit. But because I think we all need to be continually living this life of surrender to God. Letting God fill us. But if you feel a need to come, you come. Stand as we sing this song, and we'll pray together this morning.